We worship and we honor you, the faithful covenant-keeping God. As we enter your word this morning, we enter in, Lord God, with reverence, fully conscious of the fact that the natural human mind is incapable by itself of delivering as well as receiving your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into your written word. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray and ask you to help us bring in fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, we ask that you put the same unction and anointing as upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular, cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned, I pray in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to continue our study in God's Word. In our last lesson, we were in 2 John. 2 John, this is so lovely a book. 2nd General Epistle of John, written to a lady, we don't know her name, it's clear it's a woman, because John said to the elect lady and her children, and we brought out the fact in our last lessons that that shows that a woman can be a pastor, senior pastor. In fact, anything a man can be, a woman can be in the church. The Bible says in Christ there is no male or female. Our goal as Christians should be to grow to the fullness of Christ, and that's available to both man and woman. And when we do that, then all the the infirmities of women and infirmities of men that we may have had originally would be overcome by that spiritual growth and development in Christ. So ultimately a man and a woman will become equal in Christ, and they are to do that so that we can all do everything God wants us to do, you know, and it's available. Traditionally, you know, so women can't preach, women can't teach, but that's not true. That's a misunderstanding of the Bible. It's incomplete knowledge. The Bible actually says that women can do. It says there's no in Christ there is no male or female. So spiritually speaking, a woman can and should develop herself spiritually to the fullness of Christ, and so should a man. And when they do that, then, you know, this world will be in for something else. Praise the Lord. You see, men and women in the fullness of Christ will see great things happen. Praise the Lord. And so we looked at that. And in our last lesson, I think I stopped in verse 7. That's very important. We're talking about not losing our reward. Verses 7 and 8. He says, there are many antichrists that enter into the world that confess not that Jesus come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And he says, look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, that tells us some very important things. Number one, we saw this last time, but I'll just hit it running. You know, the first thing is, if you give place to the antichrist spirit in your life, it will deceive you and it can rob you of some or all of your reward. That your reward in Christ is such that if you give heed to these wrong spirits, it can cause you to lose that reward. That's why it says, look to yourselves, so that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but receive a full reward. Then there's this concept of the rewards are in stages. And we saw that in our last lesson, in one of my prayer school lessons recently, when we were talking about the parable of the talents. one person got 10 talents, another person got 5 talents, another person got 1, you know, well, the other person didn't use his talent, you know, and all of them were given the same one talent at the beginning. You know, that shows you that God expects us to use whatever he gives to us, the measure of the life of God, the measure of the faith of God. We're all given the same measure of faith, but one person uses faith to keep the whole of the 10 commandments, so to speak. 10 is a number of commandment. He kept the commandment fully, you know, and so he got 10 cities. Another person kept the commandment halfway, got 5 cities. Another person didn't keep it, you know, just the same. I shared this, the fact that, you know, he lived just like what you call a good unbeliever. He didn't use his faith, he didn't use spiritual law to develop himself. He just lived the way he used to live. He kept the thing under a napkin, which is a type of the flesh, you know. So the nature of God in him was never developed. It was there, he didn't lose it, he didn't backslide, he didn't leave Christ, but he didn't develop it. And the Bible says he lost his reward. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 15. He says, you know, he will be saved yet so as by fire, but he will suffer loss. And that's not God's will for us. But the reason why these things are put in the Bible is a warning to us. It is possible. And what causes it is this Antichrist spirit. And we saw the fact that there are different kinds of Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit basically is a spirit that comes in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ. And basically, its function, you know, its aim is this: to distract you from your purpose and your destiny. The purpose of Christ is that we grow into the fullness of Christ. We grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and manifest his glory in this lifetime. Now, what the Antichrist spirit does is that it gives you another goal. So you have the legalistic Antichrist, you know, that makes you think that, you know, legalistic dressing and all of that is what's going to make you get to heaven and makes your goal heaven, which isn't really our goal. Heaven is a gift, it's not a goal, you know. And then you have the power Antichrist that just, you know, concentrates on just power and healing and things like that, which are not wrong. Those things are not wrong, but when they become a goal in themselves rather than a means to an end, and they become an end in themselves, and then it takes us from our goal. And then you have the prosperity Antichrist, which is very common today, you know, which makes material and financial wealth as if that is the goal of our Christianity. And I brought this out some time ago. I don't know if it was last lesson or some lessons ago. You know, if you read the Bible and you don't read it very carefully, you know, Satan can slip you on the other. For example, First Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate in it day and night," you know, and then you have good success. You prosper and have good success. Now, prosperity and good success is not really your goal, but it's a consequence of keeping the commandments of God. And when you keep the commandment of God, you know, of course you will be prosperous. Of course you'll be successful. But that is not a goal in itself. But if you don't read the whole Bible, that's why Bible talks about the whole counsel of God, you can run away with that. And so today we have a lot of motivational messages that makes, you know, material prosperity and success, that is physical, natural success, a goal. And that's not the goal of our Christianity, because there are a lot of people who are not born again, who prosper, you know, who are successful, in quotes, you know, and are prosperous materially. So, and that's not our goal. But that's the Antichrist spirit. And the thing about the Antichrist spirit is so subtle. It is so subtle. The deception is so subtle, because it will take a legitimate thing of God and then make it a goal in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ. And then, of course, the last one is the prophetic Antichrist, which seeks to make false prophecies. Well, when or is it even false? You know, make prophetic declarations that are not backed by the power of the Spirit of God, you know, and try and make that also a goal in itself. And all, whereas prophecy is a means to an end, the purpose of prophecy is to reveal to us the purpose of God, so that we can grow, you know, into that purpose and fulfill our purpose. And sometimes these things, they take place. When Jesus was talking about his return in the end time, in Matthew chapter 7. He was teaching prophetically. He said that in that day, which is this day we're living in now, he said many will come to my name, and they'll say, you know, they'll come to me and say, we prophesied. Prophetic antichrist, so to speak. He said, but I never knew you. He said, no one will come and say, we did great and mighty works, the power antichrist. He said, I never knew you. So it's possible for all of that to happen. But the thing to do, like I shared, is to make the love of God, the purpose of God, the love of God, make that our goal. Paul said, you know, I'll show you a more excellent way. He said, follow after charity. If you don't make love your goal, you will get distracted. You can easily get sidetracked. And that's what has happened over the years. And there's that scripture. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I'll just hit it now and go on, because that's where we are now prophetically. You know, the Antichrist spirit, all these 2,000 years, these Antichrist spirits, and it says many Antichrists in plural, you know, has fought against the church and sadly has prevailed over the church. But there's a generation in this end time, which is why people like me and others, you know, are teaching these things with the right emphasis now, that will overcome that Antichrist spirit. And that time has come now. Look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel, I think it's chapter 7 and it's verse 22. Daniel chapter 7 and look at verse 22. Let's read verse 21 first. I'm not going to go into all the detail, but this is a symbolic prophetic revelation of what was happening with the church and the Antichrist spirits typified as beasts, you know, and our horns. It says, and I beheld, I didn't hear you, the same horn, he's talking about this Antichrist spirit, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. This has been true. It's been true over many of these years, you know. You find the church starts, we get into revival, things happen, then all of a sudden the thing goes down again. You know, we get into revival, something happens, and then it goes down again. You know, it's this spirit. Because what it does, it comes in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ, and then it distracts us from our purpose. And like it says in 2 John, which is what's making us teach this, makes us lose our reward. And you know, he talked about a full reward. It means that there's a half reward. It means there's a quarter reward. It means there's a one-tenth reward, and so on and so forth. And you know, and I brought out, like in our last lesson, the issue of Ruth. Ruth made a total commitment to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, because she got to know God through the family of her husband, you know, and her mother-in-law. So she didn't want to stay in Moab, because she would have gone back to the gods of her fathers. She didn't want that. So she used Naomi, in a sense, as an excuse. Said, look, I'm going to stay with you. And if they ask me, say, because I want to stay with my mother-in-law and I want to look after you. You know, I don't want to go back to those gods. And when God saw that, God was so impressed by this young girl who had made that commitment, and he sealed her destiny. So when she now met Boaz, even before Boaz met her, Boaz spoke prophetically. He said, God will grant you a full reward. The God of Israel, to whom you have come, under whose wings you have crossed, is going to grant you a full reward. And I shared that the important thing here is to see is that there's, in your life as a Christian, as you grow spiritually, there are some decisions and that you make, and not only a decision, but you follow it with sincerity and with action, that seals your destiny. You can't lose it anymore. See, once Ruth had made that decision, and it was tested. She went back, you know, it wasn't for 2 weeks. She stayed with Naomi, you know. She went to Boaz's field and everything, and God was just looking. You know, God was just looking, and her consistency, her faithfulness was observed. She got to the point, you know, where Naomi now said, when she first met Boaz, she didn't know who Boaz was. It was Naomi who knew who Boaz was. And it was Naomi who knew that it is a possibility that Boaz could marry her, because he was a near kinsman. But it wasn't a done deal. It was just a possibility. But when she now When she now was faithful to Naomi, went to her place where did, you know, the work, brought the food back, you know, the grain back to Naomi and everything, you know. The Bible says, at the end of the harvest, it takes time. Naomi said, now what shall I do for you? He said, you know what? When Boaz is going to harvest tonight, mark where he's going to lie down. And then go and lie down near him. And then when he wakes up in the middle of the night, say, make sure, I tell him that he should become a king's man for you. Of course, in those days, that meant to marry her and raise up seed, you know, to her husband's name. You know, and she did everything Naomi told her to do. She washed herself, the type of us, clean herself with the washing of the water of the word. She lay down at Boaz's feet. She uncovered his feet. Boaz got up and said, who are you? He didn't know who he was. It was in the night. In those days, they didn't have electricity like we have today. You know, and he said, I am Ruth, your handmaiden. He said, now, you know, do the part of a king's man for me. And Boaz was very impressed. Boaz said, you just say, you know, you could have gone over younger men. I'm an elder man, you know. There's nothing really attractive about me. But, you know, he said, I know you're a good woman. He said, however, we have to do things properly. There's somebody who is closer than me, you know. And if he wants to do it, that's fine. And if he can't do it, then I'll do it. And we know the story. He did. But the important thing is this. God put her now in the lineage of David. Look at that. She got her full reward. So you and I are encouraged to obtain our full reward and not be distracted by this Antichrist spirit. Go back to Daniel just quickly. Look at that, because that's the good news. Verse 22. We saw verse 21. The same horn made war with the saints. And he's been making war, this war with us since the early church. Since the first century. This Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist person isn't yet here. But the spirit is very much here. Until, I didn't hear you. The Ancient of Days came. This is talking about when the Lord is coming in perfection and the fullness of Christ in the church, which is this time now. And what? Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Another translation says, judgment was given in favor. You know, in favor of the saints. And the time came. Turn to your neighbor and say, that time has come now. That the saints possess the kingdom. I want to bring out something here that's very important that you need to see. Can you see here that the reason why that horn was prevailing against the church before was that they never possessed the kingdom? See, once you don't make the kingdom your goal, the Antichrist spirit will prevail over you. It was when they now possessed the kingdom, they were able to overcome the Antichrist spirit. Are you listening to me? And that's why to close this age, we have to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But you cannot preach what you don't have. The kingdom there is the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy, the fruit of the spirit, you know, the character of God, is spirit, soul, and body. That's what's going to make us overcome the Antichrist spirit. That Antichrist spirit is so pervasive. It's all over the place. And sadly, Christians don't even recognize it. They don't even know it's there. You know, and because it's so subtle, it takes legitimate things in the Bible. It's not false doctrine. It is, but it's not direct false doctrine. It's just omission and overemphasis. Omit the weightier matters of the Lord, the important things, then overemphasize the things that are legitimate, but they are not the most important things. And make that a goal in itself. In my own Christian experience in these 40 years, what I've seen is this, you know, when I first got born again, you know, I saw the legalistic spirit. I saw the power Antichrist, you know. I saw people trying to make that, you know, the goal. I saw the prosperity Antichrist. I saw the prophetic Antichrist. You know, over these years, I've seen those things. I've seen them operate. And while I partook of all of those things, but the mercy and the grace of God enabled me to see that those things were not an end in itself. And when I look back now over these 40 years, I can see people who have made those things their goal. And I can see how they've skewed off. People who are, you know, I remember when I first got born again, and you know, I can't go into personalities and all of that, but you find people who are cutting edge prophetic. cutting edge prayer. Cutting edge people, the same people, some of them today, are doing all kinds of funny things that they would not have dreamt of doing 20 years, 30 years ago. Is that Antichrist spirit? And so we have to be very careful about it. And that's why it's warning. Let's go back to 2 John now. You have to be very careful about that Antichrist spirit. Make sure you don't yield to it so that it doesn't cause you to lose some or part of your reward. Okay. Now, in our next, for today, we want to look at, and see if we can finish this book today. It says, whosoever transgresseth, I didn't hear you, the 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Son, the Father, and the Son. Verse 10. If there any, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Wow. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a what? Partaker of his evil deeds. Now, again, here, this is why we need the Holy Spirit, and this is why we need teachers. That's why you need to come to church. You know, if you read this thing in the Bible by yourself, you may think that what he's saying is that anybody who doesn't believe in Jesus, don't let them enter your house. Hello? Amen? You know, of course, you know, that's an extreme, and that's not what he's saying at all. You know, he's not saying, you know, is there anybody who doesn't, you know, for example, maybe you have people who are Muslims, or you have some friends who don't believe in God. They shouldn't enter your house. You know, you can take things to that extreme. That's why we need, the Bible says, the letter kills, the spirit gives life. Now, keep it in its context here. Keep it in its context and you'll understand what he's saying. And what he's saying is this. If anybody comes to your church, the house there isn't just their house. He was talking to this lady and her children. So when he's talking about their house, talking about her church. So she was, that's the context. She was saying, if anybody comes to you, in those days, when John was writing, there was a lot of error flying all over the whole place. Remember, Jesus had died just about maybe 60 years before. You know, the church had grown, great things had happened, but they did not have the full canon of scripture together. The apostles knew them, but not everybody. You know, they had the Old Testament, then the New Testament was being written. Some of the Gospels had been written. Some of the epistles were being written. This one was just being written. You know, this 2 John was just being written. So at that time, there were a lot of people who were going around with all kinds of strange teachings and strange and false doctrines being perpetrated by this Antichrist spirit. You know, and they would come and teach all kinds of things that were not scriptural and that were not in line with the word of God. And that's why even Jude, saying in the same spirit, we're going to get to Jude later on, he says, you know, we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So there had been a perversion, there had been a corruption of the original gospel message that the Lord Jesus had given to the church, and that the early church fathers and apostles, Peter, James, John, and the 12, and then later on Paul, you know, and others had preached. So it was in that context that John was now writing and said, look, lady, you're very good. You're walking in truth. I'm impressed with you and your children. You guys are doing great. He said, now, be careful. Be careful. If anybody comes and he doesn't bring this teaching, he said, don't let him into the church. Don't let him into your house. He says, neither bid him Godspeed. What does that mean? Godspeed means, you know, don't encourage him, don't support him. In those days, they had a lot of itinerant teachers and itinerant pastors, you know, itinerant teachers, really, you know, and they would go from church to church, you know, particularly in the early Roman Empire, where the church was under serious persecution. So the churches were not like today, where you had a big church. No, they were in people's houses. In the early church, They were in people's houses. So this guy will come into town and say, oh, he's a teacher or he's a prophet. And they will bring him into their house. You know, he would teach, he would preach. And usually when he's genuine, they would give them money. You know, they would host them. They would encourage them and everything, you know, and then they would move on. People like Apollos, you know, Paul and others. So it was in that context that John was writing and said, if anybody comes and they don't bring this doctrine, this teaching of Christ, and they bring any other thing that is a perversion of it, he said, they're not of God. Number two, do not allow them into your house. Number three, don't grant them God. Don't take the resources of the gospel and give it to these false teachers and these false prophets. Don't let them, you know, don't bid them Godspeed. Godspeed just means don't say, you know, encourage them, give them the financial resources and material resources to help them on their journey. Don't do that. That's the context in which he was speaking when he says, you know, don't bid him Godspeed. Now, I want to, this is why we have to have the whole counsel of God. So I want to bring out a little bit of understanding and balance out here. And it is this. You see, back in those days, like I said earlier on, people didn't have, there was a lot of perversion. It's still true today. Just that today is a little bit more sophisticated. You know, there were all kinds of things. There were those who believed that, oh, Jesus didn't really come in the flesh, that he had just died 60 years before, you know, that he was a spirit. There were those who believed, there were all kinds of variants of the true gospel. You know, there were those who believed Jesus, you know, was that when you get born again, you receive the life of Christ and you cannot sin anymore. So even when you sin, it's not a sin, you know, because you have Jesus. All kinds of strange and funny doctrines. So what he's saying is this: if they transgress, that is if they sin. And that, you see, one of the things you can know about true believers is that sin will no longer be a lifestyle. They don't live habitually in sin. So he said, whosoever transgresseth. You know, like a guy comes in, you know, he talks a lot of stuff, and then you see him drinking, you see him smoking, you see him womanizing, and he's still saying all the right things. You know that this guy is not okay. I just use that as an example. You know, yeah, and abides not in the doctrine. That's why we need to know the word. We need to know what the scripture says. What are the fundamentals of the scripture? Number one, the virgin birth. It was not a some spiritual experience. It was real. Jesus was born of a virgin, just like every other human being. He was in the womb for 9 months. He was born just like all of us are born. You know, he grew up as a child, you know, with the Holy Spirit, but he did not have, I've said this sometimes when I've been preaching over the years, God was not spooky. In these days, you know, all kinds of doctrines were flying all over the whole place about how Jesus, you know, he would make clay, you know, and birds, and then the birds would now become real and then they will fly away. You know, all kinds of, I read all of this, it's all in the Apocrypha and things like that. I don't certainly encourage anybody to go and, you know, but if you read a little bit about church history, you'll find that there were all kinds of talk about things Jesus did. And he didn't do all of those things. Jesus lived a very normal life, albeit supernatural. And that's why we need to, you know, be like him. Like you see, Jesus, he didn't do spooky things. You don't find him, you know, he said, turn these stones into bread. You know, in some of the Apocrypha, they say, yeah, Jesus, when he was hungry, he would just turn things into bread and eat it when he was a child. That's not true. You know, so they had all these funny doctrines. So what John was telling her was this: if anybody comes, he has a sinful lifestyle, and he doesn't abide in the doctrine, the basics, the virgin birth. He died on the cross. He died. He wasn't a spiritual death only. You know, he literally died, and he also died spiritually, of course. He went to hell. He was raised again from the dead. You know, they saw him 3 days later. You know, he ascended into heaven. He's coming back again. You know, the doctrines of baptisms, baptism into water, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. You know, these are the basics. You know, and if they come and they don't have these, you know, they're not solid on these basics, he said, don't let them in your house. Don't let them inside your house. Now, how do we handle people of different religions today? Like I said, you know, again, you can take this to an extreme. Does that mean that if somebody is of a different religion, you know, who doesn't believe in the doctrine of Christ, you know, these basics I've talked about, some religions, they don't believe Jesus is God. You know, anything that doesn't believe that Jesus is God and God manifest in the flesh and that he was raised again from the dead and died for our sins, you know, and that he's coming back again, you know, that is not of God. Anybody who doesn't believe those basic things, you know, and you have people like that in the world today, different religions. They don't believe in all of these things. So I won't let them inside my house. Is that what the Bible is saying? No. I'll show you what the Bible is saying. He's saying here, like I said, about teaching. For example, I won't let them inside this church, and I'll not allow them to come to this pulpit and teach their own doctrine. Certainly, I won't do that. Do you understand? That's what he's saying. But if he came to my house as a human being, and like a friend or something, I'm not going to throw him out. Now, how do I handle that? You know? This is why you need pastors and teachers. Look at John chapter 12. Let me show you something here. There's something God showed me many years ago. I've certainly shared it here. Please excuse me. I certainly shared it here in church. Look at John chapter 12, and look at verses 47. Well, maybe from verse 46. You know, yeah. And I want to show you, you know, how to handle this. It says, I am come a light. I didn't hear you. Jesus is the one who's talking. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Darkness just means ignorance. I've come to bring the light, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of salvation. You know, if any man, now this is very important, hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now this is, you know, like I was sharing the other day, you know, on Wednesday, I believe it was, or no, not this Wednesday, maybe the former one, you know, about, you know, you know not what spirit you're of, or maybe it was last Sunday. You see, James and John, for example, wanted to call fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans because Jesus, they didn't accept Jesus in their village. Just, no, don't do that. You don't know what spirit you're of. Now, in the same context, if somebody doesn't believe in Jesus, the Bible, Jesus himself was telling us, he said, don't condemn them. He said, if any man believe not, he said, I judge him not. Now, does that mean he won't be judged? He's going to be judged later. He said, you say, because my purpose is not to come and alienate people. My purpose is to reconcile them. So if I meet somebody of another, I don't know if I can call it a faith, but of another religion, do you understand? I'm not going to judge them. That's not what Jesus teaches me. He said, judge them not. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. If you have a condemnatory, holier-than-thou, hypocritical attitude, you're going to push people away. But God doesn't want you to push them away, because he wants you to draw them in. Are you listening to me? And so he says, I judge, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Next verse. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. In other words, I'm not the one who is going to do the judgment. He didn't say he won't be judged. He said, but I won't be the one to do it. You see, so long as we're inside this world, God doesn't want us to have a condemnatory, judgmental attitude against people of other religions who at the moment don't understand what we're talking about or don't believe it. So he says, I don't judge you. He said, however, there is one that is going to judge him. Who is going to judge? God.
But he said, I won't do it. I will not do it. But God will do it. Next verse. No. Go back to verse 48. Go back to verse 48. I'm not done yet. Have one. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him when? But there is a long time between now and the last day. My purpose now is that between now and the last day, I want to save the guy. Are you listening to me? So instead of arguing and fighting and having a wrong attitude towards people of our religion, what are you going to do? You have to walk in love, you know, and pray for them that God will open their eyes and get them born again. Are you listening to me? But if you have a condemnatory attitude, you're going to repel them. And that's not what God wants. That's why he said, there's going to be a judgment, but it's not going to be now. It's going to be at the last day if they don't accept. Are you listening to me? Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, give me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So in other words, all this thing I'm telling you is what God has told me to say. Now, there's another wonderful scripture. It's in John chapter 10. It says, I have sheep that are not of this fold. These are scriptures that over the years God has had mercy on me to help me to has illuminated them to me. What do you say? Oh, no, this fold. They're not Christians yet. He said, yeah, they're my sheep. And a very good example is Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't a Christian. When the Bible says that, and there was this Roman centurion, he said, and he prayed, and he gave alms. Now, the alms didn't save him. The prayers didn't save him. But his heart was one that was looking for the true God. So what God did something, he sent an angel to him. And said, go and send for one Simon he's in somebody's house, in the house of Simon the Tanner, in a place called Joppa. And he will tell you what you're going to do. So, and of course, normally Peter would not have gone. Peter with all of his, and we're all like Peter. All of us are the same way. Amen. We have these religious. I can't talk to those kind of people. I can't go to that kind of house. I just remember the particular incident that happened to my wife and I. This many years ago. It's probably about 20 something years ago. My wife was praying. She was a younger Christian then, and she started praying about people. What is it? Is Cherubim and Seraphim? Or Celestial Church. Yeah, it was Celestial Church. You know, and she'll be praying about it, you know, just interceding for them and all of that. In fact, during this intercession, something will be scratching her body. She told me about it. I cast the devil out. Praise the Lord. And I told her not to worry about it. Anyway, a few years later, you know, we met somebody. A pastor. And he was a pastor of a Celestial Church. It's a true story. Pastor Kunle knows this person, and he's close to Pastor Kunle's family and Pastor Kunle's mother. We got to know that many, many years later when we went for Pastor Kunle's mommy's birthday. You know, this many, many years later. You know, so anyway, this man, you know, even though he was in Celestial Church, he was looking for God. And, you know, he had started shifting, but he was still in Celestial Church. So, you know what? He invited me and mommy and said we should come and preach in Celestial Church. Now, of course, no. Pastor Lubi, kilo nshensele. I want to use this as an example. It's like Cornelius. It's a true story. So, you know, we had to, you know, but I knew the man. And I knew his heart was right. And his wife, he was seeking. So my mom said, we'll go. No, we went. Not only did we go, we spent the night in their house. I'm still here. Light, darkness cannot overcome light. We went to that Celestial Church. We spent, they live in Lagos. We spent the night in their house. We had breakfast with them, went to their church, preached in their church, took our shoes off. And the people in the church were wearing all their white. He too wore his white and all of that. They didn't put on their shoes, but I preached the true gospel and everything, you know, and we became friends. You know, he got born again. No, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He left the celestial church. He started his own church. Now he's a bishop. He has his own, he's still around today. He has his own church in Lagos, flourishing gospel church. Pastor Kunle knows him. Now, most of all, I like Peter. When they said, I said, go with him, nothing doubting. Yeah, Lord. Lord, Lord. Peter wouldn't have gone. If he didn't see that vision, if God did not do that vision and send that thing and say, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, Lord, you know, nothing unclean. You know, has ever entered my, you know, but God knew he was preparing somebody. God knew he was preparing somebody. So that's why this is what God is saying here. When he says, don't let him into your house, he's not talking about your house. He's talking about your church. And then the attitude towards these people is, even if they don't believe yet, your attitude should not be one of condemnation. Oh, I can't talk to you. Oh, I can't have anything to do with you. No. You should look for ways under the Holy Spirit where God can use. Say we have been sent, you know, with a ministry of reconciliation, not of condemnation. And that's what this scripture is teaching us. Jesus didn't. He. That's why he said, a very strange scripture. He said, if anybody believes me, he said, I judge him not. You would have thought he would be the one to judge them. He didn't. And he's telling us to have the same attitude. Don't judge them simply because they don't believe what you believe yet. The word yet is very important. For he says, I have sheep that are not yet of this fold. Like this man I was speaking about, like Cornelius, you know, that I spoke about, you know, and others like that. And later on, God was able to bring Cornelius into the fold. We know he wasn't born again because Peter had to tell him what to do, to get born again. And God didn't even let Peter finish the message. Once Peter just said the essential things, he's died, he's come, the Holy Ghost fell. Incidentally, like I shared the other day, you know, no sinner's prayer. Amazing. No sinner's prayer because the heart was already ready. God just filled the heart with Zoe and then filled with the Holy Ghost and tongues came. Bam! All in one, you know, one movement. Praise the Lord. One fell swoop, like we say. You know, so what are we saying is that you need to, thank you Jesus, you need to treat people, you know, with love. Now that doesn't say you should go and compromise. It's a fine balance here. It doesn't mean you go and compromise and start doing all the things that they do. And no. You know, just be decent. Be kind, you know, and pray for them. And where you can agree. Where you can't, you know, just don't get into all of that. Involve them, you know. If I think this word in the scripture is a very powerful word. It says the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. It says they warn them without the word. Talking about husband and wife, but it's a general principle. You know, where if you're always arguing, if you're always contending, you will drive people away. But if you have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, even when they don't obey, if you do what is right, that your life will speak to them and God will draw them in. And that's what the Holy Spirit is actually telling. You know, this is the spirit of the scripture. So if any comes to you and does not have the doctrine of Christ, don't agree with them in what they're doing, you know. If you're a leader of a church like me, for example, like a local assembly, of course I will not give them my pulpit, and I will not take gospel money to help them to do their ministry. Praise the Lord. In quotes. That's what he was talking about. I won't grant them Godspeed. However, on an individual basis, you know, where I can, you know, I will see what I can do to talk to them. There's a friend of mine, you know, we call him a brother, you know. He's not a Christian yet, you know, And I talked to him. So he said, you say, Pastor, you're trying to convert me. I said, yes, yes. And then we'll be joking about it and all of that. But I know the message is getting through. I know the message is getting through. You know, and he's open, you know, even though he's very dogmatic about what he believes for now, you know. But I said to him, I said, you know, God has been very good to you. I said, it's because you have a good heart. And I told him about Abimelech, you know. I said, God is a good God. God is a good God. And there are lots of people like that. There are lots of people like that. Lots of people like that. And we mustn't drive them away with this holier than thou, condemnatory fire from heaven, consume them overnight attitude. Finish them. Holy Ghost fire. You know, fire. Bash. You know, thank God if all of us would have been consumed before we got born again. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? So you need to, that's why the Bible says the letter kills, the spirit gives life. You need to, each situation is different. There's some people just, you know, they're totally anti, they don't even want to hear, leave them alone. There are others who have good hearts and they are open, you know, and then God will give you wisdom how to, you know, maneuver in that particular situation, you know, and it will change from person to person, from situation to situation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we can't just do things by the letter of the word. So these kind of scriptures, you can't just take them. You can't just take them in isolation, out of script, out of context, and say, the Bible said that anybody who doesn't have the doctrine of Christ, come wale in you. You haven't heard me. Don't let me enter your house. There are some people who won't enter your house. Yeah, all your mechanics will not enter your house. Hello. Many of your gardeners, your staff, they won't enter your house because they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ and they transgress. How many people know what I'm talking about? Even some of your in-laws may not. So you're going to enter your house. Can you see when you take that thing? You can see that that's not what God is saying. That's why you have to test things. That's why you have to interpret scripture in the light of the love of God. If you want to get the correct meaning, I'm going to close, you know, of any scripture, you know, always look at it through the lens of God's love. You know, in God's character and love, how would he handle this? Then you get the real meaning of what God is saying. Whereas if you just take the letter, even though that's what it says, if any man transgress and abide, they say, do not let him inside your house. That's the letter. But keep it in its context. He's talking about the church. He's not talking about your house. So you can, when you take it to that degree, you now alienate everybody. And people say, these people are so intolerant, you know, and all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Well, take my next lesson. I can't get into the other verses. I was hoping to finish 2 John today, but I don't think I can do that right now. Okay. We'll do the next two verses. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. What I've just done, I just want to emphasize that and close. Nehemiah. Yes. So they read, I didn't hear you. In the book, in the law of God, what? Distinctly, and gave the what? Sense. So there is a sense. And caused them to what? Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. Good. So they read. No, Amplified, yes. So they read from the book of the law of God, translating and explaining it so the people understood the reading. There's one old translation that says, you know, it says they amplified it. I don't know if it's this one.
You know, there's another scripture. There's another. I read my Bible reading this morning, my study, you know, where it uses the word amplified. You know, and let me just see if I can get that. But anyway, it says the same thing I'm trying to say. In other words, you know, the Bible is a pregnant book. If they don't give you the sense, go back to the King James. Even that's good enough. You know, if they don't give you the sense, they read the law and gave the sense. In other words, you can read the Bible and not get the sense behind it. Hello? In other words, you get the letter, but you don't really get what God is actually saying behind that letter. All you just know is, yes, this is what the Bible said. Yeah, that's what he said. But what does it really mean? What's in God's heart about that scripture? And this one that we read this morning is one such one. You know, yes, the Bible says we should not entertain wrong doctrine. People of you don't believe in Jesus. And the world is full of them. The world you're living in. And Jesus' time, it was exactly the same thing. In Jesus' time, he too had the same issues. Now, you had a lot of people who didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. You know, they had all kinds of issues, you know, and against him and everything. Yet, you see Jesus, you know, maneuvering by the Holy Spirit with some of these people and then winning some of them. Now, he didn't win all of them, but he won some of them and got them to come to his side. The same thing with you and I. We're going to meet different kinds of people, you know, in our walk with God, who don't believe in many of the things we believe, who will even blaspheme. And you know, like even Paul, Paul that was Saul before, he didn't believe. He was threatening and throwing them in jail and everything. Yet he was the one who's going to become a great apostle. Faithful God, yet he was one who became a great apostle later on. So you don't know whether you're looking at the potential Saul. You don't know a potential Paul, if I can use that expression. You know, so you have to, under the Holy Spirit, be careful the way you handle people. You know, but bottom line, walk in love. Let us pray. Talk to God. Love never fails. If you walk in love, you will never miss it. You will never miss it. Love never fails. If you walk in love, you will not make a mistake. It's so easy to go off, but that's why God gave us the law of love. And he explained that love to us. It endures long, it's patient and kind. It's never envious. It doesn't boil over jealousy. It's not rude, it's not unmannerly, it doesn't act unbecomingly. if you let those principles guide your heart, you will make a mistake. And God will show you the hearts of men. He will show you those who are honest, he will show you those who are rebellious, and he will show you how to handle each one in different situations. Thank you, Jesus. Presence, there is light.
In your presence, there is light.
There is light.
Expressions of your love. Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
In your presence, we
your presence, glory to God.
In your presence. In your presence.
We are content. There is light.
In your presence there is light.
There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power.
Raise your hand to God as you respond. We're going to pray together in a minute. I just want you to talk to God and say, Lord, help me. Help me to understand the spirit behind the letter of your word. So I'll not run with a letter that kills, but I'll apply the spirit in a manner that will give life. That's probably the greatest lesson we can learn here today. The Bible has so many statements that can be taken literally out of context and totally misapplied. Ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Most importantly, the attitude of love. Love will always guide you aright. Once love becomes the main thing, you won't miss it. Love never fails. Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
Your presence we now bring
a lost offering.
We're in the presence.
We're in the presence of our King.
See, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me, reminding me how to handle people who don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. That we should not allow them into our churches. We should not give them our pulpits. We should not encourage a ministry of false doctrine. But right on the other hand, I thank you for showing me that if any man doesn't believe, we should not condemn them, but rather we should look for a way through prayer and love to reconcile them and draw them to Christ, breaking the darkness over their minds by spiritual weapons. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and draw men by the power of the Spirit into Christ. Father, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to always seek the spirit behind the letter of your word. Because I know the letter will kill, but your spirit will give life. Help me, as I walk in love, to always see the spirit behind the letter of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. Jiki tu fridinga la ka la mokoko. Nombre la mokolo mosto fridesk. Nombre de la mashala karo. Nongar do fridesk. Lombre dika. Jiki tu fridika. Lombre ka ka mokolo mokolo mosto fris. Lombre ka ka mokolo mosto fridu fridu frishi. Zofre. Nombre ka ka mokolo 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 mosto fridu fridu frishingars. Nombre ka ka mokolo mosto fridu frishinga. Zufri, nombre que clamatolo, nombre que clamatolo, tolomatolo, tofrishingaro, Zehio, yokotofrenengar, dofres, nofrines, dongaros, tolomas, jiki tofrines, dongele ke shakas, tofrineas, tofrineosk, tolomoros, sheki tofris, langara que clamatolo, tofres, tofrines, tolangas, tofrish, tolomangaras, sofri di clamatolomas tofres. Dolomas tu fris, umbrdolos, ze freneas, shuki tu frenegist, shuki tu frenegist. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap.